down his power fist. But the war boss dodged aside at the last moment, and instead of smashing the greenskin's skull, the fist gouged a blackened crater from the ground. The war boss recovered in an instant, aiming a backhand axe blow at Cantor's face. There was no way to dodge out of its reach, so the chapter master rolled into the blow instead, bringing his left shoulder around into the path of the axe. With a brittle clang, the weapon smashed into the power claw, pinning Cantor's left arm and shattered it into a dozen pieces. Warning icons vanished at once from Cantor's display. Dawn's arrow came up and fired in a single motion, stitching a line of shells from the orc's waist to its right shoulder. The mass reactive rounds turned the greenskin's side into shredded meat and knocked it onto its back. But still, the brute was not finished. Roaring in anger and pain, the war boss ground its fist into the dirt and pushed itself upright. When it did, Cantor was ready. His power fist lashed out in a devastating punch, catching the orc's iron jaw and driving molten fragments of its teeth into the war boss's brain. The orc fell backwards in a smoking heap. Cantor rose to his feet, fist shrouded in boiling blood. The last of the war boss's mob backed away from the chapter master, bellowing in shock and dismay. Cantor advanced on them. "Face me!" he shouted. "Come and meet your death, vermin!" He reached for them with his power fist, its fingertips shedding drops of molten iron. "Look upon the Emperor's wrath and despair!" Greenskins raced past Cantor, firing wildly back the way they had come. Stormbolters thundered close behind the chapter master, cutting down several of the fleeing orcs. The rest ran past the war boss's remaining warriors, and within moments they too were in full retreat, disappearing amid the huts to the west. Vigurix's terminators took up positions beside Cantor, their guns still hammering away at the fleeing greenskins. The chapter master turned about, taking in the battlefield. Dozens of orcs lay in bloody heaps around the fire pits, cut down by the ruthless fire of the Space Marines. Sergeant Dicor and his squad formed an arc to the southwest, advancing slowly through the tangle of bodies and killing any wounded Xenos they found. Sergeant Phronotis and his veterans had finished their sweep and joined up with the Terminators on the opposite flank, their bolters covering the approaches to the north and east. It was over, Cantor thought with grim satisfaction. The attack, all told, had lasted less than 8 minutes. With the greenskin war boss dead, the orcs were broken. All that remained now was to hunt down the survivors. He and his brothers would be back at Geras 403 by dawn. Cantor turned to Vigurix. "Perhaps I should have told Brother Olivos to wait after all." Just then, an angry shout rent the night. It came from the west out of the shadow of Widow's Spire. It was not the shout of a fearsome war boss, but it was the voice of a greenskin all the same. "Wah!" came the cry, echoing off the walls of the gorge. The voice faded. For half a second, there was silence. And then, Cantor felt the ground start to tremble beneath his feet. It came from the west, swelling in power and intensity with every passing moment. A low rumble, like thunder, echoed across the gorge. Cantor knew the sound at once. It was the pounding feet of multitudes, racing across the rocky ground towards them. It was the vast, hungry sound of a massed charge. "Wah!" roared the answer to the lone orc's call, and the storm broke over Traitor's Gorge at last. Chapter 6. The rain came suddenly, bursting from the clouds in a torrential downpour that lashed angrily at the sides of the gorge. Thunder boomed, rolling along the tops of the mountains and reverberating along Shaniel's bones. But it was not the sudden onslaught of the storm that roused the Pathfinder from her meditations. A deeper, more distant sound was buried within the hissing of rain on stone and the knife-sharp whistling of the wind. Her other rangers heard it, too, many of them rising from their meditative positions and moving close to the mouth of the cave to listen. Shaniel was already sitting close to the cave entrance, positioned so her slender back was to the rock wall, and turned so that she could observe both the entrance and the interior of the cave itself. She cocked her head slightly to the side, concentrating on the sounds rising from the gorge. Her eyes narrowed in recognition. The Pathfinder rose smoothly to her feet. With a few softly spoken commands, her companions began checking their weapons and adjusting the settings on their camellia-lined cloaks. Shaniel checked each squad in turn as she worked her way to the rear of the cave. Cold blue light shone around a sharp turn in the rock, creating an alcove of sorts where the Farseer and the squad of warped spiders waited. Sethir Tuanen knelt upon a small carpet woven of rich silks and inlaid with patterns of fine glassy threads extruded from warp-reactive crystal. A small lamp rested on a delicate metal tripod nearby, bathing the alcove in its soft glow. At the very back of the alcove, half hidden in shadow, the five warp spiders sat facing one another in a meditative circle. The eerie song of their jump generators echoed faintly off the rough stone walls. Shaniel knelt beside the Farseer, her long rifle resting across her bent knee. "The battle has begun," she said quietly. Sethir nodded, her expression hidden beneath her war mask.
"For some minutes now, yes," she agreed.
The Pathfinder frowned.
"And nothing has changed? We must still take no part?" "Not yet."
The pale mask turned to regard her.
"Do you doubt me, Shaniel?"
"I do not," the Pathfinder paused, considering her words carefully.
"But I can hear the war cries of the Greenskins. The gorge carries their bestial shouts for kilometers, even through the clamor of thunder and the hissing sheets of rain." "You have a flair for the poetic," Zethir observed, "but I fail to see how this is relevant."
Shaniel interrupted the Farseer with a brusque wave of her hand. Nuance and circumspection were well and good in the tea room or the garden, but not upon the eve of battle.
"Just how large is the greenskin force arrayed against us?"
Zethir straightened slightly, but conceded the Pathfinder's point with a curt nod.
"Pedro Cantor has been fighting the orcs here for many cycles," she explained. "He hunts them relentlessly, driven by guilt and the demands of honor, and he is rightly feared by his foes. Those he has not killed have fled before him, retreating through the mountains in hopes of escaping his reach. Here, they have found good terrain to fight in, and a leader who has united them against Cantor and his warriors," the Farseer said. "There are tunnels and deep caverns within the depths of this mountain, large enough to hide an army, and the orcs have made good use of them."
Shaniel let out a slow breath.
"And Cantor does not suspect?"
Zethir shook her head.
"His hunger for revenge made him incautious. He hastened into the gorge, believing he faced no more than 100 greenskins. The true number is closer to 1,000.
The Pathfinder felt a chill race along her spine. She leaned in close to Zethir.
"Cantor does not stand a chance," she hissed. "The fate of Aletok rests in his hands. Surely we must aid him."
The Farseer's gaze fell to the meditation carpet. She laid a palm atop its surface, causing the crystal threads to glimmer beneath her touch.
"He is not ready for our help just yet," she said softly. "Not until he stands upon the edge of the abyss. Only then will he listen. Only then will he believe."
Chapter 7. Lightning, stark and white, knifed across the underbelly of the clouds and unleashed a torrent of pounding rain. The hiss of falling water and the crash of thunder that followed were swallowed up in the pulsing wall of bloodthirsty noise bearing down on the crimson fists from the west.
"Whoa!"
Brother Victorix, the chapter master called, but the Terminators needed no prompting. They were already on the move, forming a firing line to receive the greenskin charge. Dicor's warriors were following suit, taking up position beside Squad Victorix and extending the line in a slight curve to the south. Phrenotis and his stern guard ran up and took position behind the Terminators, ready to fire through the gaps between the tactical dreadnought suits and countercharge the enemy if needed. Cantor placed himself at the juncture where Squad Victorix and Squad Dicor met. From there, he could gauge the strength of the Orc counterattack and be in a position to support any of the three squads if necessary. His mind raced as the Greenskins bore down on them, considering his forces' options in the face of the new threat. He wasted no time wondering where this new horde of Orcs had come from. All that mattered was how many there were, and whether his Space Marines could kill them before they were overwhelmed. The Chapter Master checked the ammo load for Dawn's arrow. The rumble of pounding feet was louder than the rain, more constant than the thunder. Another flash of lightning raked the sky overhead, and in that cold flash of light, Cantor saw the leading edge of the charge. There were hundreds of them. Beady eyes glinted in the blue glare. Tusks gleamed, and jagged blades flickered like serpents' tongues. They were pouring down the narrow lanes and crashing headlong through the camp's flimsy huts, goaded on by their bosses and bellowing at the top of their lungs. The Orcs were just over 50 meters away. Less than a minute, Cantor thought. If the Crimson Fists could not break the Greenskins' charge within that time, their chances of survival were slim. "Victory or death!" Cantor cried, raising his fist to the churning sky. "Squad leaders, mark your targets and fire at will!" A half-second later, the thin blue line roared its defiance at the oncoming horde. Muzzle blasts strobed yellow and orange in the darkness, pouring streams of mass-reactive shells into the oncoming Orcs. Against such a large force, it was nearly impossible to miss. Orcs toppled by the score, cut down by the merciless storm of fire. Rank after rank fell, their bodies trampled beneath the feet of those behind them. Within seconds, the Xenos were charging over a carpet of their own dead to get at the Space Marines. The raging of the heavens was nothing to the man-made thunder of the battlefield. The air shook with the thunder of the guns and the screams of the dying. Cantor added to the storm, seeking out the largest and fiercest of the oncoming Greenskins and cutting them down with devastating bursts of fire. Yet the tide of death crept closer. The mire of blood and torn flesh beneath the Greenskins' feet only seemed to inflame them further. The Crimson Fists kept up their fire, working with the cool efficiency of butchers at the slaughter. Spent shell casings flashed and tumbled across the muddy ground. When a weapon ran dry, the spent clip was ejected and another rammed home in less than a second. Raindrops hissed against the barrels of the bolt guns and storm bolters alike, wreathing the Crimson Fists in angry plumes of steam. 30 meters? 20. The Orcs were returning fire now, blazing away with their crude guns in the general direction of the Space Marines. Loose streams of tracer shells buzzed through the Imperial firing lines. Most of the Greenskins managed only a single burst before they were cut down. Cantor could not say how many of the Xenos had fallen. 100? 150? He fired another burst, catching an oncoming boss in the throat. The brute toppled, but the rest of its mob scarcely noticed. They ran on, eyes fixed on the Space Marines that were now almost within reach. 10 meters. Both sides traded shots at point-blank range. Several of the Crimson Fists staggered as shells ricocheted off their thick armor. The Orcs were so close that their screaming faces were lit by the flickering orange glow of the muzzle flashes. Their eyes were wild and their teeth bared in the berserk rictus of fury. There was no stopping them. The horde was too big, too frenzied to break. In those last moments, as the tide of flesh and steel rushed in, Cantor came to a cold realization. If we die here, the chapter dies with us. The Crimson Fists met the orc charge with shouted oaths and the resounding clash of metal on metal. Cleavers and axes rang against the Space Marine's scarred plate. Chain blades screeched and spat, hissing streams of orange sparks. Combat knives jabbed and sliced, and power fists crackled. Blood, thick and hot, sprayed across Battle Brother and Greenskin alike. Kantor felled a charging orc with a backhand blow to its skull, and cut down another with a quick burst from Dawn's arrow. The Crimson Fists fought back against the Xenos onslaught with discipline and teamwork, creating a wall of fists and blades that the orcs could not break through. But the sheer number of attackers would soon tell against them, Kantor knew. Even now, the orc horde was sweeping north and south, threatening to engulf the beleaguered Space Marines. "Defensive formation Omega!" Kantor ordered. An orc blade struck his upper chest. Another stabbed at his eye, missing by scant millimeters. He let the thrust slide past and took the greenskin's head from its shoulders. "Brother Artos, cover the gaps!" The Space Marines reacted instantly, executing the formation drill without conscious thought. Squadron Otas swung north and east, anchoring their line on Squad Victorix to their left. At the same time, Squad Dicor drew back, connecting the far end of their line with Squadron Otas, creating a hollow triangle with Kantor in the center. Brother Artos stepped out of the line and took position next to the Chapter Master, ready to cover any gaps with bursts from his heavy flamer. Moments later, the Crimson Fists were surrounded. The Space Marines took a heavy toll on the Greenskins, but in close combat, the odds began to swing in the enemy's favor. Though they could not withstand a hit from a Terminator's power fist, the Greenskins scarcely felt the bite of a combat knife or the butt end of a swung bolter. And the damage to the Crimson Fist's armor was mounting steadily. Within minutes, nearly half of Kantor's warriors were sporting minor wounds as they struggled with the orcs. The Chapter Master stayed on the move, darting from one side of the formation to the next and lending support where it was needed most. He slew orcs with swift jabs from his power fist, or blew them apart with point-blank bursts of fire. But for every greenskin he slew, three more appeared to take its place, and the Crimson Fist's formation was squeezed tighter and tighter by the mounting press of bodies. Kantor knew from experience that the sheer weight of attackers would continue to drive the Space Marines back upon one another until they scarcely had room to swing their weapons. When that happened, they would start to fall, one by one, until finally the last few survivors were overwhelmed. A furious bellow shook the air behind Kantor. He whirled to see a huge orc boss shoulder his way through the mob towards Squad Dicor. Brother Santoval, a Space Marine of only 50 years' service, stood squarely in the brute's path. The warrior held his ground, shouting an oath to Dawn as he fired point-blank into the orc boss's chest. But the range was so close that the rounds tore through the Xenos's body before they had time to detonate. Blood poured from the wounds, but the boss scarcely seemed to feel them. Roaring with rage, the brute swung a massive two-handed axe and split Santoval's helmet from crown to chin. Moments later, the orc boss was engulfed in a burst of searing promethium as Brother Artos moved to seal the gap. Kantor swallowed his anguish as Artos dragged Santoval's body into the center of the formation. He would be damned before he stood here and watched his chapter die before his eyes. They had to break out of the encirclement, and quickly, before the numbers surrounding them grew too great to overcome. There were only two options. Kantor considered them and reached a swift decision. "Brothers, stand ready," Kantor called over the voxnet. "We're fighting our way out of here. Brother Artos, rejoin your squad. On my command, we will form a wedge with Squad Phronotis on point, facing north. Squad Dicor will form the flanks. Squad Victorix will form the rear and cover our withdrawal."
"North, my lord," Phronotis said. "That leads us deeper into the gorge."
"We have no choice," Kantor replied. "The walls of the gorge narrow to the south. If we push that way, we'll just drive the orcs ahead of us into the gap, and then we'll be trapped. There's high ground to the north. We can stage a fighting withdrawal and bleed the greenskins for kilometers."
swing the odds in our favour.
Understood,
the veteran sergeant said, though it was clear from the tone of his voice that Phrenotis had misgivings about the plan.
Squad Phrenotis stands ready.
Dicor, the chapter master called.
Ready.
Victorix, ready.
Execute.
At the command, Brother Artos laid down a broad arc of burning promethium in front of the stern guard squad. Nearly a dozen orcs were caught in the blast. They recoiled, screaming from the flames, and Squad Phrenotis drove forwards into the gap. Cantor followed close behind, covering the flanks of the squad with bursts from Dawn's arrow. Squad Victorix moved next, falling back a step and turning their guns to the south. That was the cue for Squad Dicor. They fell back, passing between the Terminators and fanning out to left and right to form the sides of the wedge. The Imperials completed the evolution in less than 5 seconds, firing all the while to keep the Xenos at bay.
Go!
Cantor ordered, moving up to join Phrenotis' veterans. He fired a long burst at a knot of orcs lingering just beyond the flames, killing two and driving the rest back.
Don't let up!
The crimson fists drove like a spear tip into the mass of orcs, burning those directly in front and shoving the rest to either side. The stern guard and the warriors of Squad Dicor fired on the move, keeping the greenskins from pressing the formation too closely. At the base of the wedge, Squad Victorix had the hardest task, keeping the growing mass of orcs behind them at bay with a steady hail of fire from their storm bolters and assault cannon. Every few minutes, a large band of frenzied greenskins would brave the hail of shells and charge the Terminators, only to be crushed beneath the blows of their crackling power fists. Streams of orc shells raked the wedge from all sides, but in the darkness and the rain, most of the shots went wild. More than one orc fell in the crossfire, and soon there were mobs blazing away at one another from opposite sides of the gorge. At the tip of the wedge, Cantor and Sergeant Phrenotis flanked Brother Artos, cutting down any orcs bold enough to risk the flames. The greenskins were hungry for battle, but found themselves inexorably pushed to the sides of the wedge by the Space Marines' relentless advance. Despite their overwhelming numbers, the Xenos lacked coordination and leadership, and could not mass their strength in such a way as to halt the Crimson Fists. While the warriors of the Adeptus Astartes were masters in every aspect of battlefield tactics, it was mobile warfare at which they excelled above all others. They could move faster, hit harder and more accurately, and coordinate their maneuvers more effectively than their enemies. The orcs had tried to deprive them of those advantages, and had Cantor hesitated even a few minutes, they might well have succeeded. More shells tore through the Space Marine formation. Rounds glanced off Cantor's right pauldron and sped on, ricocheting wildly amongst the armored warriors. A sputtering orc grenade flew out of the darkness and got tangled up between his feet before exploding. Shrapnel scored bright scratches across his leg armor, and a sharp flare of pain behind his right knee nearly caused him to stumble. Cantor took a step, found that the splinter did not greatly impede his range of motion, and put it out of his mind. Artos raised his heavy flamer and unleashed another hissing blast. There were only a handful of screams this time. The press ahead was thinning out.
"We're almost clear," Cantor called out.
The Crimson Fists plunged ahead through the fire and the driving rain. The gelid promethium clinging to the ground splashed beneath their tread, kicking up sprays of ferocious yellow-orange light. Then they were through, and Cantor found himself looking out upon a rocky, desolate slope that ran for nearly 100 meters before disappearing around a slight bend to the east. They had fought their way clear of the camp and the greenskin horde. Now came the difficult part.
"Squads Phrenotis and Dicor flank left and right. Skirmish order. I want harassing fire to the south. Squad Victorix, head north of the double. Find us good defensive ground and take our position there. Go!"
"Acknowledged," Sergeant Victorix replied.
The Terminators fired off another volley at the milling orcs and headed north into the darkness. The Space Marines, in their massive tactical dreadnought suits, could manage little more than a lumbering trot. Cantor and the other squads would have to buy them as much time as possible. The chapter master watched the Terminators go, and then turned his full attention to the south. The scene inside the camp was one of total pandemonium. The greenskin horde had broken down into separate mobs, blundering into one another and trading blows in the darkness. Tracer fire zipped back and forth across the gorge, punching through Grok's hide shelters and occasionally orc flesh. The hot tracers and Artos's Prometheum had started a number of fires amongst the rubbish, which burned stubbornly despite the pounding rain. Cantor looked upon his foes in disarray and cursed in frustration. With a single well-equipped tactical company at his back, he could have destroyed the greenskins in the space of an hour. As it was, he knew that the orcs would sort themselves out sooner rather than later, and then they would come swarming up the gorge. It would be all he and his hunting party could do just to survive. With a growl, Cantor banished such grim thoughts from his mind. The situation was what it was. He had to work with what was at hand, and his immediate problem was the 100 or so orcs gathering less than 100 meters south of him. The one advantage to being surrounded by the greenskins was that the Space Marines only had to concern themselves with the Xenos immediately in front of them. Now the orcs had the entire width of the gorge to spread out and attack their enemy. Cantor knew that the orcs did not see well in the darkness and were easily distracted when their blood was up. For the moment, only those closest to the breakout had any real idea where the Crimson Fists were. That mob was pushing up the slope, roaring and shooting and trying to get the attention of the rest. Cantor pointed at the oncoming orcs. "Those are the ones we have to deal with, and quickly, before the rest of the horde begins paying attention. We hit them hard, scatter them, and break contact. No shooting. I don't want to give away our location to the rest." Without waiting for an acknowledgement, the chapter master broke into a run. Squads Phrenotis and Dicor fell into step a moment later, readying their combat knives. Cantor hoped to be upon the orcs before they knew what was happening. Their dark armor rendered them almost invisible, and their heavy footfalls were masked by the constant hammering of gunfire and the greenskins' shouts. But a sudden flash of lightning directly overhead betrayed the Crimson Fists more than 20 meters from their goal. The orcs caught sight of the armored warriors bearing down on them and let out a wild roar, opening fire with every weapon they had as they charged to meet their foes. Bursts of glowing tracers whipped through the narrowing gap between greenskins and space marines. Several of the Crimson Fists were hit. One, a warrior from Squad Dicor by the name of Velas, staggered in mid-stride and fell forward into the mud. By ill chance, an orc round had struck his ocularium, passing through his right eye and into his brain. Rage burned at the edges of Cantor's brain. He longed to bellow his fury at the orcs, but iron self-discipline held his emotions in check, as it did for his remaining battle brothers. They shouted no oaths or righteous imprecations, calling no attention to themselves from the larger horde in the last few seconds before they crashed into the greenskin mob. Cantor swept his power fist in a wide arc as he ran past the first of the orcs, catching one of the Xenos under its chin and flipping the brute's body end for end before it hit the ground. An axe smashed heavily into his shoulder, but the chapter master ignored the blow, pushing deeper into the mob. He clipped another passing orc on the hip, shattering the joint in a spray of blood and dropping it as well. Onwards he went, step by step, dealing death to any greenskin he passed. His space marines did the same, slitting throats, slashing bellies, and ripping hamstrings with their sore-backed knives. Another orc leapt directly into Cantor's path, hacking at him with a cleaver. The chapter master took the blow against his breastplate, stiff-armed the orc in the throat, and stomped down with the full weight of his armored body on the orc's chest as it fell back against the ground. Bones crunched, and the orc's angry roar turned into a blood-choked scream. Cantor glanced left and right, searching for the leader of the mob, and caught sight of Phrenotis squaring off with a massive greenskin wielding a chain axe. The orc howled in fury, raining a flurry of blows down on the veteran space marine. One stroke raked across Phrenotis's breastplate, just millimeters below his throat. Another caught him across the left forearm and left a jagged scar across his battered vambrace. The third stroke was a lightning reversal aimed for the damaged side of the sergeant's helm. Phrenotis ducked smoothly beneath the blow, his power fist pistoning downwards in the same motion to shatter the orc's right knee. Unbalanced, the orc boss spun about with a howl of pain, until the sergeant's backhand stroke blasted its skull to bloody flinders. The orc's shouts turned from bellows of rage to cries of panic. More than a dozen of the greenskins had been killed, and the survivors scattered into the darkness. Cantor halted, his boots sliding a bit on the muddy ground. "That's enough," he said over the voxnet. "Those stragglers will be looking for other mobs to join. I want to be a few kilometers away before they can point anyone in our direction." The chaptermaster surveyed his warriors as they turned silently and began jogging back up the slope. Their war gear was etched with new scars and wet with rain and fresh gore. They were battered, but unbowed, beleaguered, but still defiant. The sight of them filled Cantor with pride, and a bitter ache for all that had been lost. The deaths of Santoval and Velas brought them two steps closer to annihilation. As he ran, Cantor wondered if his chapter would survive to see the dawn. Chapter 8. The fighting was drawing nearer. Shaniel had been listening to the running battle for hours, crouched with her rifle at the mouth of the cave. The storm had moved off to the northeast, leaving behind the first clear sky she had seen since coming to the human world. Without the muffling effects of the rain and wind, the sounds of combat were sharply defined, echoing along the twisting course of the gorge. And, to Shaniel's experienced ear, they spoke volumes about the struggles taking place just a few kilometers to the south.
"Cantor has escaped the cauldron."
The Pathfinder stirred, glancing up at Zethir. She had not heard the Farseer approach.
"You sound as though you admire him," Shaniel said coolly.
The Farseer gazed out at the winding gorge.
"Cantor is fighting for the honor of his brethren and the survival of his people. Is that not admirable, Shaniel?"
The Farseer's voice was grave.
"I have seen the foes he must face and understand the sacrifices he is willing to make."
The Pathfinder shrugged.
"They are fighting well, I will grant you that. By the sound of things, they have been staging an expert fighting withdrawal. But their pursuers have grown in number with each passing hour, and the humans are running out of room to maneuver."
Zethia nodded.
"Even so."
The ribbons tied to her spear haft fluttered in the breeze as she pointed off to the east.
"Dawn is fast approaching. It is time we took our places upon the stage."
Shaniel rose smoothly to her feet. Her face was composed, but inwardly she was eager at the prospect of action. Her rangers took notice and stirred from their meditations. Rifles were readied and concealing cloaks were dropped into place. The Pathfinder gestured to the squad she had chosen to accompany her. The second squad, including Toithas, would remain with the Farseer. As she made ready to lead her warriors from the cave, she realized that the warp spiders were nowhere to be seen. They had already activated their jump generators and slipped away on whatever mission Zethir had assigned them. Chapter 9.
"Here they come, brothers," Cantor called out. "Stand ready."
Dawn had given way to a grey-orange haze that hung close to the mountaintops and left the air humid and close. The last hill at the farthest end of the gorge was tall and possessed of a long, gradually steepening slope that had made difficult going for the orc horde. 8 times the greenskins had come howling up the slope, and 8 times the crimson fists had hurled them back. They had left behind hundreds of corpses, heaped in bleeding mounds all down the length of the hill. There were so many that the Space Marines had made barricades from the dead, piling them up all along the summit to provide cover from orc bombs and rockets. It was a vista of carnage grim enough to give the fiercest warrior pause. But not the orcs. The sight of the growing slaughter only seemed to excite them further. It had been a long night of ambush and retreat, stretching for 20 kilometers up the course of Traitor's Gorge. The Crimson Fists found defensible terrain, let their pursuers charge into a punishing crossfire, and when the orcs fell back in disarray, they would withdraw in search of the next ambush point. They had killed scores of the enemy along the way, but the number of orcs pursuing them had only seemed to grow larger and more determined with every passing hour. Once dawn had broken, the greenskins' accuracy had improved as well. They lost Artos just after the last ambush. The veteran warrior had waited until the last moment to withdraw, covering the rest of his battle brothers with the dregs of his weapon's promethium tank. Just as he had been about to break off, a sputtering orc rocket came corkscrewing through the air and struck him full in the chest. Every other space marine had been wounded along the way, some multiple times, by the bite of axe, cleaver, and shell. The Crimson Fists fought on by virtue of their superhuman stamina and rapid healing abilities, but even they had been taxed to their limits. And now the orcs were getting ready to charge again. Cantor had chosen their position carefully, positioning his warriors atop the hill so that the orcs could not outflank them. Victurix's Terminators formed the center of the line, a fearsome bulwark that had broken the enemy's assault again and again. Phronotis and the stern guard covered the right flank, standing upon a rocky outcropping that allowed them to pour enfilading fire down on their attackers. Cantor stood with Dicor and his tactical squad on the left. The worst injured amongst the Crimson Fists sat some distance behind the battle line, employing rest and meditative techniques to boost their body's healing abilities. At Cantor's warning, they stirred themselves and rose slowly to their feet, taking their places beside their brethren. Cantor turned to the Terminator squad. "Sergeant Victorix, what's the status of the assault cannon?" Limited maintenance and hours of sustained fire had caused the multi-barreled weapon to jam with increasing frequency. "Ready, my lord," Victorix replied. "But Brother Silver says ammunition is running very low." "The same can be said for all of us," Cantor said grimly. Dawn's arrow was down to its last few bursts. They had killed hundreds of Xenos over the course of the night, but still there seemed to be hundreds more. "Make each shot count, brothers." At the base of the hill, the orcs' war cries grew louder and more intense. The leading edge of the horde began to shift as one group of greenskins or another made to lunge up the hill towards the waiting space marines. Huge orc bosses waded through the frenzied mobs, goading their followers with snarls, punches, and kicks. The brutes forced their way to the front of the horde. They looked up the corpse-strewn slope and smiled wicked, bloodthirsty smiles. They roared, and the horde surged forwards. Gunfire erupted from the greenskin line as the orcs opened fire with every weapon they had. The Crimson Fists crouched behind their makeshift barricades as the air filled with a hail of heavy-caliber shells. A trio of rockets came sputtering up the slope. Two passed over Squad Victorix, missing the kneeling Terminators by scant meters. The third struck the barricade of flesh shielding Squad Dicor, hurling up a fountain of charred flesh and fragments of bone. As ever, the gunfire from the orcs was inaccurate, but the sheer volume kept Cantor and the Space Marines under cover as the horde clambered furiously up the slope. The air hummed with the constant passage of shells. Another pair of rockets streaked into the Space Marine positions, carving gory craters from the barricades. And all the while, the baying of the horde drew nearer. The Chapter Master gritted his teeth. The orcs were getting clever, employing basic tactics like suppressing fire to support their assault. After suffering punishing casualties, the orcs were starting to show signs of real leadership. Cantor would have given much to know who this new leader was, and to have a clear shot at the greenskin's head. The orc assault wave was close now. The air shook with their war cries. Consequently, the volume of suppressing fire began to diminish as the greenskins risked hitting their own warriors as they approached the barricades.
On my command, Cantor said over the voxnet, we throw the last of the grenades and then open fire. Aim for the bosses. If we can kill them, we might be able to break the rest.
Cantor listened. The pounding of feet rose to a crescendo. 20 meters. 15. 10.
Now, the chapter master cried, for Dawn and the Emperor!
Cantor rose from behind the barricade, bringing up Dawn's arrow.
Wait!
Frenotus shouted. Cantor had no sooner heard the warning than his world dissolved in an orange blast of fire. Seething flames and tongues of black smoke blotted out Cantor's helmet display. Temperature readings spiked. He could feel the intense heat seeping through layers of ceramite and adamantium plate. Instinct and training took over at once. The chapter master moved without conscious thought, dropping down behind the barricade and pressing himself face first into the ground in hopes of smothering the flames. The fluids leaking from the once-living barricades had turned the earth at their base into reeking mud, thick and clinging. After a few seconds, it put out the gelid vehicle fuel spat by the orc flamer. When Cantor could see again, the entire length of the barricade was ablaze, throwing plumes of greasy smoke into the hazy sky. Two flamers continued to pour fire on the center of the line, trying to get at Victorix's terminators. A third stream of liquid fire was playing over Phrenotis's position, likewise forcing the stern guard to keep under cover. To Cantor's left, dozens of orcs were overrunning the barricade, many leaping headlong through the flames to attack Dicor's space marines. The chapter master bit back a curse. The damn greenskins had planned well this time. He rose from his crouch, intending to aid Dicor's squad, and at the last second heard a thin, hungry hiss from the other side of the barricade. Instantly, he dropped back behind cover, just in time to avoid another blast of fire. The chapter master could see the orcs' tactics at once. They were using their flamers to keep most of the space marines under cover, while throwing most of their weight at just one segment of the line. From there, they could work further along the barricade, wiping out the Crimson Fists, one squad at a time. Cantor estimated that one of the orc flamers was just a few meters away, on the other side of the barricade from him. He could not stick his head up without drawing the greenskin's attention. Slowly, he turned about and looked down the far end of the battle line, past Squad Victorix. Through the swirling smoke, he caught a glimpse of a streak of flame dousing the stern guard position. If he leaned away from the barricade, he could just catch sight of the orc wielding the flamer. Without hesitation, he raised Dawn's arrow and fired a long, stuttering burst. The greenskin jerked and twitched as a dozen rounds struck home. One hit the flamer itself and detonated, spraying burning fuel in every direction. A roaring tongue of flame arced over the barricade opposite Cantor, forcing him to duck away from the blast. Moments later, bolter fire began to pound away from the outcropping where Phrenotis's veteran stood. Orcs screamed in pain, and another flamer exploded with a hollow woomph. The fiery barrage covering Squad Victorix suddenly ceased, and within moments the Terminators were back in action, blasting away with their storm bolters. Cantor could hear the shells bursting on the far side of the barrier opposite him. Trusting in his battle brothers, Cantor surged to his feet. All four of the flamers had been knocked out, and the orc assault was overextended, funneled in a long line towards the far end of Dicor's position. Fire from the stern guard and Victorix's squad was raking the orc's vulnerable flank. As Cantor watched, the Terminator's assault cannon went into action, scything down ranks of greenskins in a hail of high-velocity shells. The chapter master added his own fire to the onslaught, triggering a long burst at the head of the line. Three orcs were cut down before the twin bolts of the ancient storm bolter locked back on empty chambers. The weapon's capacious magazine had finally run dry. Roaring a battle oath, Cantor raced down the line to aid Dicor and his squad. The Space Marines were hard-pressed, but fighting furiously against the orc onslaught. Sergeant Dykor himself was being attacked from all sides by a group of 5 orcs. The chaptermaster fell upon them and slew 3 of the Xenos with sweeps of his power fist before the others realized their danger. Dykor dispatched them both before they could recover their wits. The stern guard continued to rain down fire on the orcs, while Victorix's terminators had left the burning barricade and were pushing towards the orcs' extended flank. Dykor rallied his squad, and with Cantor's aid, the space marines began to push the greenskins back. For a moment, the horde wavered and the battle hung in the balance. Then the terminators crashed into the orc line, crushing nearly a dozen greenskins beneath their power fists, and the enemy assault collapsed. Within moments, the surviving Xenos were pulling back, firing wildly in their wake as they retreated back down the corpse-strewn hill. Victorix's terminators withdrew to the center of the battle line. Though with the barricade still engulfed in flames, there was little cover to make use of. Cantor surveyed the tactical squad.
Casualties? Nothing serious, my lord.
Dykor's left pauldron was askew. He reached under the curved plate and, with a grunt, pulled out the broken tip of an orc cleaver. The sergeant tossed the red-stained length of metal aside and picked his bolter up from the ground. His left arm hung limp at his side. The other members of his squad looked to be in little better shape. The chaptermaster nodded gravely.
What about ammunition?
Dykor shook his head.
We fired off our last 10 rounds just before the assault hit. If they come again, we'll just have to kick the greenskins to death.
Cantor could not help but smile at the defiance in Sergeant Dykor's voice. Every one of his space marines had fought like heroes, each one accounting for scores of the enemy since the Battle of the Gorge began. But knives and fists would not be enough. When the orcs came again, Squad Dykor would be hard-pressed to survive.
The stern guard may have some spare ammunition left, Cantor said, though he knew it unlikely. Get your squad to work, building another barricade. We will need the cover when the orcs...
Cantor was interrupted by a furious roar from the bottom of the hill. The sound surprised him. How could the orcs have possibly rallied so quickly? He turned and stared down the slope. The lower third of the hillside was still crowded with orcs retreating from the last assault. Beyond them, at the base of the hill, waited a force of some 200 greenskins. They were by far the largest and best armed warriors of the horde, led by a collection of huge, ferocious bosses. They were bellowing in rage, not at the space marines, but at the greenskins who blocked their path to the summit. Cantor saw the orcs' strategy at once. The whole point of the last assault had been to soak up the last of the space marines' ammunition and break up their barricades with flamers. The weaker members of the horde had been sent up as bolt gun fodder, while the real assault force waited to finish the job. The realization struck him like a dagger to the heart. This is the end of us, he thought, as the final assault began. Chapter 10. Zethia studied the weavings of fate. In the space of a single moment, the continuum of potentialities resolved into the pattern she had so long sought. The future lay within her grasp. The moment was at hand. One by one, the runestones dropped into her palm. She murmured a command into her helmet, opening the comlink.
Take up your rifles, sons and daughters of Aletok, she said. Strike and be the salvation of your people.
The Farseer raised her witchblade and etched a trio of burning runes in the hazy air. Shaniel lifted her gaze from the sight of her long rifle and glanced across the gorge. She could just make out the slim figure of the Farseer, black against the grey of the mountainside. Strike? Strike whom? The second wave of greenskins were on the move, smashing aside the last few retreating orcs and heading up the slope. Most of the space marines were in the open, their barricades reduced to charred flesh and piles of brittle bones. None of them were firing at the oncoming orcs, which told her that the humans had used up the last of their ammunition.
This time the fighting would be hand to hand, and it would not end until one side or the other was destroyed. Did Zethir mean for them to kill all of the orcs? It was not possible. There was not enough time. Her eyes narrowed. Was that a glimmer of light next to the Farseer? One of her rangers murmured in surprise. Scowling, the Pathfinder peered through her scope. All she saw were orcs. A flicker of light caught her eye. She centered her scope over it. A wisp of blue-green flame danced a few centimeters above the head of one of the larger orcs. Fracture points, she recalled the Farseer telling her. You will know them when the time comes. A slow,